Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I said this kind of last week too, but I'll repeat. I enjoy going on mission trips because, for one thing, when you stuff a bunch of loud, fun-loving, sometimes borderline obnoxious teenagers into a small space like a van or a church basement, you can't barely stop them from having a good time. But there's also maybe a more serious reason I enjoy serving event trips. When you go on a mission trip, even though you usually return exhausted and maybe even a bit cranky, you typically still feel better than when you get back than when you left. Because when you serve others, it's actually good for you personally as well. Well, the apostles learned this lesson in our gospel lesson. Last week in our gospel lesson, the verses immediately before our Mark chapter 6 reading for today, Jesus had sent out his disciples in pairs to preach and to teach and to cast out demons. Now we read that they have returned to Jesus and they are both tired and excited. And now, like any good mission trip leader, Jesus was preparing to help his disciples process their trip. And so after talking to them some, Jesus tells the 12, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." It's no wonder that he would encourage them to rest. Anytime you go on the road, you become drained, feeling all used up. That's why people often say, "I need a vacation after my vacation." It's even when you're having fun or feeling good, going on the road can be draining. Well, the disciples had just worked long, if fruitful, hours. They probably were feeling both tired and pretty good about themselves. They might have been saying, "Hey, James, guess what? I was teaching people in a home, and by the afternoon, we had to move in the marketplace. There were so many people." Or, "John, you should have seen the look on the family's face when I healed their child." Well, I bet those disciples, not to mention Jesus, could have used some more debriefing time and some rest. However, as they tried to leave, some people recognized them as they were leaving and quickly ran and told everyone else in town and out of town. Soon, although the disciples and Jesus were making their way across the lake, a great crowd, we're told, was running to beat Jesus around on the other side so that they could hear more from him. You know, I wonder what that must have looked like to the disciples on the boat. I don't know about you, but what do you think of when you hear of a crowd running? I think of things like crazed college students going to tear down goalposts, or crazed shoppers on Black Friday stampeding into Best Buy. Crowds running is kind of a bit frightening, typically. I wonder if the disciples, while they were in the boat, could see a cloud of dust going around the lake. And I wonder at one point they realized what was going on. I bet they thought to themselves, "Oh, great, what are we going to do now?" But when Jesus sees the crowds, he doesn't see a problem. It's so tempting to see interruptions in our lives as problems to be avoided. As I was typing that very sentence, I was interrupted by an unwelcome problem. I had literally just finished writing, "It's tempting to see interruptions into our lives as problems to be avoided," when I was, in fact, interrupted. And you know what I just about did? I almost tried everything in my power to avoid that interruption. But then I realized that maybe God was tapping me on the shoulder and saying, "Hey, what were you telling everyone else? Don't avoid this interruption." So I somewhat begrudgingly tried to address the problem and not just avoid it. But that can be a bit challenging. What kinds of challenges are you facing in your lives right now? What kinds of interruptions are you trying to avoid or shove under the carpet? Is there a family member who is trying your patience? Is there a financial problem you're trying to shove under the rug so you don't have to see it? Are you struggling with something at home or at work or both, maybe? These kinds of things, these interruptions and challenges in our lives are not the things we usually like to think about. In fact, you might be squirming a little bit, uncomfortable just thinking about them at all. But please, don't stop thinking about them. What if instead of avoiding that problem, you started addressing it? What if you made that phone call to that strained relationship? What if you put down the shovel and stopped digging yourselves into any deeper of a hole? What if you practiced forgiveness? Or what if you practiced confession? Jesus often works through these interruptions and challenges in our lives, the things that we really don't want to think about. He pushes us and stretches us. For instance, do you think that any of those disciples, those 12 apostles, would have volunteered to go out in pairs to preach and teach and cast out demons without Jesus there with them? I doubt it. I imagine they would have, if they had been given a choice, they would have said, "Nah, I'm good, Jesus. You're doing a great job. I like just sitting here and watching you work. You just keep doing what you're doing." But Jesus pushed those apostles out the door and sent them on a mission because he was preparing them for something bigger. They were part of something bigger, and being uncomfortable was not the worst thing in the world. He was stretching them so that they would be more prepared to share the gospel with others. Your struggles, your challenges in your life, they are, I'm willing to bet, probably one of the primary ways in which Jesus is getting your attention. Jesus doesn't teach us to avoid struggles or challenges. Instead, he teaches us to navigate them. He helps us. He gives us the tools. Sometimes he gives us the strength and the ability that we have not on our own. In our gospel lesson, we see the disciples, Jesus stretching the disciples even more. They're out in the wilderness with 5,000 plus people to feed, and there's no Cashwise or Cub, no Aldi's or Walmart in walking distance. The disciples tell Jesus, send the crowds away so that they can go home and get some food. But Jesus knew how many people had skipped a meal rushing out the door to find them. He knew how many people had not been prepared for a full day out in the sun. He knew how many of them had run that 5K around the lake without any proper training. You see, these people were probably not just hungry. Many of them probably needed food so that they didn't faint on the long journey home. But instead of just fixing their situation and letting the disciples shove it off on him, Jesus tells the disciples, "You give them something to eat." "Wait, you want us to buy food for all these people? We'd have to empty our pockets out, and it still wouldn't be enough to give everyone a bite to eat." So Jesus responds, "No, not your money. How much food do you have? What do you have? How many loaves are there?" 5 and 2 fish, they reply. Well, at first glance, that sure doesn't seem like enough to the apostles. But as Jesus had the people sit down in the grass and he lifted his head to heaven and prayed, the disciples didn't just glance anymore, they kept blinking and staring because these 5 loaves and 2 fish, it turned out, were enough. It was enough for that first group of 50 sitting in the grass, and lo and behold, it was enough for that second group of 100, and for the third group of 50, and for every group thereafter. It wasn't in, and guess what? Something I don't know that I'd really noticed this before, but at the end of their serving, there were 12 baskets of food left over. Now, how many apostles are there again? Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I think the significance of those 12 baskets of leftovers is that at the end of their day of serving and trusting in God, these apostles had more than they started with. They thought that they were going to have to split 5 small loaves, like maybe a hot dog bun loaves, that's what we're talking about here, and 2 small fish. But after serving, they found that God had filled them up as well. He had provided for them. He had taken care of them. And they had more than they had started with. Brothers and sisters, God will take care of you and me too when we respond to Jesus' call to serve and to love our neighbors as ourselves. If you trust in God enough to serve others, to take on an interruption or challenge in your life, He will take care of you. Now, sometimes it's wise to do this not alone, but in pairs like the disciples did. And we don't do it alone ever entirely because we take Christ with us and we seek His guidance and help. But God is using these challenges, these interruptions in our lives, those people maybe even who are bugging us, God is using those things and those people as a blessing to teach us a lesson and to teach us to rely on Jesus. Take up the challenge God has set before you, and in the end, I promise that you will see that you are better off than when you started. In Jesus' name, amen.